is 9 a.m. on August 14th, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett.
And we've got a great show lined up for you today. This morning in the studio, we are joined by Witold Zabinski, who is the president of the Polish-American Chamber of Commerce of the Southeast United States, and also the managing partner of Corporate Strategies International. Welcome, Witold. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing just fine. Pleased to be here with you this morning.
We're glad to have you with us. And in just a minute, we're going to speak a little bit more with our guest today. But first, let's go to Dana for today's Atlanta Business Headlines.
All right. We've got a bunch of stuff going on today. First of all, I have to say, I love having a guest in the studio with an accent. I love accents.
Trying to make it a much more international environment here.
That's true.
We've had Good Morning Atlanta.
We've got
folks from the World Trade Center coming on tomorrow morning.
It's very exciting. We love that.
Speaking of traveling the world.
That's right. I was going to say, maybe that can bring you and I to some international travel, too. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But in the meantime, regional air carrier locally is planning commercial jet service, believe it or not, out of Gwinnett. Atlanta-based Imagine Air, a regional carrier, again, plans to offer commercial jet service at Lawrenceville's Gwinnett County Airport, despite recent rulings against a plan to privatize the site.
Interesting.
I know. I can't even imagine driving out. You know people are going to get it wrong. They're going to be at Peachtree Airport or something.
Confusing?
Yes.
Well, I would think only people that live in Gwinnett would fly out of Gwinnett. Nobody else will.
Unless it's really a good deal.
Maybe.
Depends on where you're trying to get to, right?
Does Imagine Air have really good deal rates?
I don't know. I think they're really more of like a commuter sort of airline, you know, like a low, like they don't go very far. It's all southeast, I believe.
And they then take you to another suburb of an actual city?
Probably. I'm guessing. Yeah. So then you're going to have to like, you know, get a bicycle and I don't know, or whatever, to get to where you're going. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if it actually affects any kind of regional travel or if it's just a blip on the radar once it happens.
So does that mean we can finally get quicker to the local beach?
Maybe that's exactly what it means. If you live in Gwinnett, you hop on Imagine Air and you're...
Right, in Clearwater.
Right. Do I need to make fun of the name? Because I really want to make fun of the name right now. You could just imagine yourself at the beach, or you could take Imagine Air. I'm sorry. I apologize, Imagine Air.
In the middle of Mississippi.
I know. I actually like the name. So, you know. All right, moving on.
Easy to remember.
So there was a report apparently recently by, our Business Insider that reported the 10 unhappiest jobs in America. And then they came back and they said, oh, whoops, no. There's actually a different 10 unhappiest jobs in America, which kind of cracks me up because that goes to my statistic belief about statistics, which is that you can kind of craft statistics and surveys to say whatever you want them to say.
Pretty much.
But in any case, Business Insider says it recently published a list of the 10 unhappiest jobs in America based on a report by CareerBliss. But then it concluded that the list compiled by National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago had a more accurate list. So they're going
happy,
with that
unhappy,
now.
Happy, happy, unhappy.
All right, listen to this. So the unhappiest, can you guess, Witold, what the unhappiest job in America is?
I would.
If you say yours, I'll be very sad.
Probably something at the airport.
You know, you're not that far off because there's, right, that's like a construction-y sort of job, right? Like a hands-on kind of worker job, and it's a little bit dangerous. So you're not that far off because the answer is roofer.
Okay.
A roofer is the unhappiest job because, you know, you might fall off the roof. I'm just saying. And it's probably pretty freaking hot, or it's raining, or it's like, it's just not a good place to be. Up high on a black tar roof.
I mean, I guess it depends on what roof you're roofing. Some roofs may have a nice view.
Well, that's true. Maybe that offsets it a little, but I could see where that would not be the greatest job.
Now they're getting better because they've got this automatic crane that makes jobs safer.
Well, that's true. all right. So also on the list, and this, some of these surprised me, actually, rounding out the top five anyway, are servers, laborers, except construction, by the way, bartenders, and hand packers and packagers, whatever the heck that means.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've managed in a warehouse before.
Yeah, so people that are
filling orders.
Filling orders. Oh,
you
pick
the order, and then you stuff it in the box.
Oh, I've done that,
too. And then you send it on the assembly line. It goes down to shipping, gets on the UPS truck.
Yeah, I guess I just...
in a freezer?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, in a freezer. Or cold, anything cold or hot, probably, after a few minutes, is probably terrible.
Smelly.
Now, interestingly enough, on the original list...
Anything that was ever alive.
Right. On the original list, apparently, was security officer, registered nurse, teacher, sales engineer, and product manager,
those
which
are like the exact opposite.
I know.
Jobs. That's
and it's funny.
So weird.
Well, you know
they
why?
Really just like did the math wrong?
No, but here's what's funny about this. I think the people that answered, because the Career Bliss one was more of a survey. And so it's the people who had time on their hands to answer a survey, right? Roofers
right.
are not hanging out on the internet answering surveys. They're hanging out on a roof. You know what I mean? So I think that I
that
have
could
to.
Be. I'm sure
gonna,
there's a correlation there.
I'm
gonna,
challenge the research.
Yeah, I'm
going to
agree with Business Insider and say that the University of Chicago probably did a better job. Yeah. All right, moving on. So I don't know if you guys heard about this whole thing about taxing the Olympians as they come back into the United States with their winnings.
Because of, right, their winnings being a prize.
Well, and this is something interesting. Well, first of all, let me get to the Georgia angle here, which is that Senator Johnny Isaacson, who is the Republican from Georgia, co-sponsored legislation to exempt from income tax the cash prize that medalists win at the Olympics. Now, I'm sure everyone watched the Olympics like I did.
Of course.
It was fabulous. But the U.S. athletes took home 104 medals, and I never realized that there was a cash prize. So that's how stupid I am.
Right, because I kind of thought it was all about amateurs that didn't get paid.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently, you get $25,000.
I got confused with college.
I know. I didn't understand that either. But you get $25,000 for every gold medal, $15,000 for every silver, and $10,000 for a bronze. So that ain't bad.
No.
Because actually, the medals themselves
that medal shine a little bit brighter.
Well, the medals themselves are only 1% precious metal.
Right,
so
they're not valuable.
They're fake
in and of themselves.
Fake.
Right. So if they were just going to tax the metal, that would be like
here, have a
dollar.
Penny. Right. Stupid. But I when I first heard this, and I don't know what you guys think, but when I first heard this, I thought, well, it was the medal itself, and I thought, well, a gold medal is gold, and so therefore it has value, and they're going to try and make them pay cash for something that they got that was an object. And I thought, well, that's really not fair. They're out, you know, in the name of our country and whatever, and then our country's going to like kind of rip them off when they get back, which kind of stinks. But now that
it sounds like the American way,
it does sound a little bit like the American way.
In my view, if I may,
no, please
interrupt. I think it kind of should be treated as in any business. An athlete, if you think about it, they put a lot of investments into getting that medal. So
yeah.
you should accrue the amount of money that you put in.
That's a very good point.
You should be able to write off your loss leading up to the 25 grand cash prize. Right, because you've probably shelled out four times that every year for coaching and training and travel. And
I'm sorry. Frankly speaking, a lot of athletes worked very hard, and you know, not too many get
the money. They don't
win. Get the
money or
get the medal.
Right. Well, that's a very good point. So So when I first thought about it, like I said, I thought, okay, they're just taxing this piece of jewelry, which is ridiculous. And especially because what they're doing and, you know, no, leave them alone was my first instinct. My second instinct was, well, it's a job and that's your income. So it should be taxed just like anybody else's income. But the third instinct, I think, in yours is exactly right, which is it's a small business and they have expenses. And so they should write off all their expenses against that $25,000 for that gold medal they just won. And they'll be in a deficit and the government will owe them money. So done and done.
One other concept aspect here is that they contribute to the goodwill of the country.
Well, exactly.
Which,
I mean, they're an ambassador at that point.
Yeah.
And that also needs to be thrown into the model.
I agree. I think it's interesting, too. I think they should open the door to allow people who are training in an athletic sport. Here you go. I'm really off on a tangent now. To call it a small business, right? It's like a small home-based business and, you know, have a Schedule C on their taxes and write off all their expenses. Because so then even if you're just like fooling around and you want to like rollerblade, you could start yourself a little small business and you could be like, I'm training for the Olympics. What? What is the problem? I think that's what we should do. That's my solution. Anybody? Thoughts? No?
Always right. An entrepreneurial idea.
You know, I'm just saying.
I like it.
Okay, so speaking of people paying things, let's move on. Apparently, dozens of Metro Atlanta hospitals are going to have to pay penalties for readmitting Medicare patients. So this is something that's going on nationwide. There are 2,000 hospitals across the country that will soon be paying this penalty, and 40 of those hospitals are here in Metro Atlanta.
Yikes.
Yeah, and what it has to do with, I think there's a concern right now that Medicare patients are going into a hospital and because the hospitals don't get a lot of money for them, they're being kind of poo-pooed, to use a very technical term. They're, you know, being looked at and being sent back out onto the street with whatever their problem was, and then they're ending up back in the hospital, which is, and then a secondary claim is filed against Medicaid, and so I think Medicaid is trying to eliminate that is what's going on. They want them to be taken care of the first time they walk in, not have to come back.
With a lesser problem.
With a lesser problem, right,
exactly. As illness tends not to alleviate itself.
Right, of course.
When left unchecked.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment by all means.
Yeah, so
I mean, I think that's the entire healthcare system needs to be looking at it from a more proactive stance.
Right.
I mean, all along the spectrum as far as how do we keep people healthy rather than just how to put the right bandages on all of their issues and
in other
diseases.
Words, make it treated as a cure and not as a quick fix.
I mean, create a more healthy.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I feel like not everybody, but a lot of people that go into the health profession do so, at least initially, because they want to help people and they want to make people not sick and they want them to feel better. And I'm sure they want the money that comes along with that as well. But unfortunately, I think that the whole industry, of course, as we all know, is so mired in regulations and it's all about the money at this point. It's like, well, I can only do this for you if you pay me. Like, I don't really care if you get better, only if you have a lot of money. I don't know. I just find it really sad.
Oh, absolutely. Engaging in the healthcare system has become much more of an economic situation than one that is looked at purely for the health value.
Well, and people say, you know I've had like a minor ache or pain here or there, and people have said to me, you know, well, why don't you go to the doctor for that? And it's sort of like, yeah, no. I'm not, because by the time, you know, we're basically, you know, entrepreneurs here, and so, you know, health insurance is, I have a big deductible, not going to lie. So just the thought of like, well, I'm not going to, unless I think I'm dying and it's a tumor in my brain or something, like, forget it. I'm not going to spend the money, you know? And it could be something that leads, like the other day I fell, I hurt my ankle, I couldn't even walk. And people are like, oh, you should go get it checked out. I was thinking, you know.
Sometimes it's more trouble than it's worth.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, look for these new penalties to go into effect in October. It's, of course, part of the Affordable Care Act. So we'll see what happens with that.
I think we're going to be having more conversations here on Radio X about the Affordable Care Act in some upcoming episodes, also with some benefits specialists.
Excellent. Well, I'd love to get, you know, kind of maybe some more panels in addition just on the whole medical side of, you know, the business side of the medical profession. I think it'd be fascinating.
But for today, I would like to learn more about Poland.
I think that is a great idea. Let's do it.
Exciting.
So, Vitold, you're on.
You're up
now.
It's all about you.
Well, thank you so much. Again, I'm very pleased to be here and talk about Poland and the opportunities that are there for U.S. companies and, well, Western
now,
companies.
Your company advises businesses on how to do business internationally in addition to your role with the Chamber.
A company that, in addition to the Chamber, I am with Corporate Strategies International, which is Atlanta-based. Corporate development, international business consulting, basically guiding investors to be how to be successful, or anybody that wanted to either this trade or investment. As any business, you do have to do a lot of work, homework, research, and prepare yourself. And it's a good idea to hire someone. And obviously, we can
absolutely
help to.
The world seems to be getting smaller these days, and more companies, you know, 20 years ago, the thought of doing business internationally was kind of daunting and seemed out of reach for a lot of people. But more and more companies these days are looking at doing business in other countries as just an absolute, you know, general means of growing their business practice.
Right.
There's a lot of opportunities. I want to find out more about some of the opportunities that you're helping people to understand about doing business in Poland.
Well, thank you again. Poland is, as I call it, the best-kept secret for many Americans because it sits in the heart of Europe with about 40 million customers. And if you cross the diagonal line across Europe, it's right in there.
Exactly.
And it is the, first of all, it is a staunch ally of U.S. And historically, U.S. and Poland always had a very strong relationship going back to the Civil War. Polish generals came for fighting for U.S. independence. So there are ties. Obviously, the communist era was something was black for many for 50-some years, 55 years. But now Poland is the rising star of Europe in terms of economics and growth. And that message has not been resonated very well in the United States. So I'm here to tell you that look at Poland and look at the opportunity that you can have by going to Poland, establish your presence there, and reach out to the entire European EU market for a lot less cost than you would be in the other Western European country. It is the center of logistics, center of many companies that can ship products to the entire Europe, but also Russia and Scandinavia, other countries as well. So
that geographic location
makes it very attractive. And companies like UPS, which is an Atlanta-based shipping company, logistics company, is very successful there. So that gives you a good example.
Right. Well, I mean, that's sort of how Atlanta is in terms of being logistically a good location.
Well, I was saying,
access.
Also, it's
low cost access.
Right.
So
why they moved to Atlanta was a similar kind of idea from Connecticut because of the,
Well, it's the easy to get in and out of here. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's always the center of the U.S. always gets business for that reason too. Like Omaha, you know, is always like all the call centers are there and a lot of shipping goes out of there because it's right in the middle. So it sounds like Poland has some of those same advantages.
They do. And not to mention, obviously, there are other very important components that go into business when you go to a new country, and that is tax. Poland's going to be one of the lowest. It's 19% flat. Very attractive. Again, very much pro-American market. Most young people speak English and a couple other languages.
And all with a cool accent.
That's
just
right.
Saying.
That's right. Always helps. It is a very much a market to open for business and very much like to see U.S., particularly U.S. companies, being strong there because that's how the whole transition started.
Are there particular industries that you're going after, that you're targeting, that are going to be specifically successful working that way?
That's an excellent question because, like anything, countries go through their life cycles.
Sure.
Just like companies and products. So in today's market, there's a great opportunities in high tech and businesses in biosciences because, fortunately, Poland is very, very high in that education. Mm-hmm. From engineering to medical and many others. So that is also very very attractive to establish their presence there from research standpoint or just development. And you see companies like Microsoft and many high-tech U.S. companies, Motorola, being there just doing research work. But in terms of industry, manufacturing is very strong because it supplies Europe, agribusiness, energy. Poland's a leader in shale gas development in Europe, nuclear energy, wind and other power energy. It's very much a very high on the list because, again, of Europe and Poland specific is very heavily dependent on Russian energy supplies from gas to oil and others. So they're seeking to
replace
be the leader
that
in the business.
Green.
Correct.
Alternative
green energy,
fuel sources.
Renewable energy, very big.
Yeah.
Not to mention Europe, energy in Europe is very expensive.
Exactly. I mean, we complain about gas prices have gone up here a couple of cents,
right,
but it's nothing compared to what they're paying in Europe.
Yeah.
Here we're looking at $4 and, in Europe easily at about $10.
Oh, my gosh.
So, it's a big differential. And cost of living altogether is much higher and people don't make as much either.
Yeah.
Especially in the emerging markets of Europe. That's what Poland is today. I would encourage all the listeners to take a closer look of Poland and give us a call. We're here in Atlanta at Chamber, and so is the CSI, and we're here to help companies grow and be successful. Also, what I want to mention is that there are a number of growing Polish companies that have gotten to the point where they are ready to invest. Just yesterday, I was evaluating about 12 companies that expressed their interest in coming to the United States. So we should be looking to,
So the road goes both ways, right.
Atlanta Chamber and the state of Georgia to see how we can attract some of those companies to come to the state
of
Georgia.
So give me an example of a company like that. What kind of company?
A lot of them are high-tech, actually. Like one that I remember looking at yesterday was in sophisticated scale, weighting scale.
Interesting.
That they developed healthcare industry, science industry, businesses.
So they're looking to come here and sell here? Is that primarily?
Well, no, actually they would come here, yeah.
Manufacture,
bring the product,
sell.
Manufacture, because they're one of them. A lot of them actually come here and make U.S. to be the global
headquarters.
Headquarters.
Interesting.
Because it's a lot easier to move out of here to Latin America and Asia and so forth than oftentimes out of Europe.
Right.
So they want to very quickly become a global company. One that recently actually we helped establish HTL Streffa, which is a manufacturer of lancets for the diabetes. You know, those are the pricking device. They're doing very well. You know, they started.
So
about
it sounds like a lot of technology.
Technology driven
healthcare.
Healthcare. Some of them are in defense. Another one, actually, it's in postal. Some sophisticated postal services that can make postal service much more efficient.
So, oh, I like that.
They are. They're very they're looking to establish presence here.
I stood in line at the post office the other day. So
they're losing a lot of money in that sector. So I think that any automation and efficiency like that be very, very much a plus.
Now, you mentioned – I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Just a quickie and then over to you. You mentioned that, you know, it would be nice if the Atlanta Chamber and, like, the city worked kind of with you to help bring some of those businesses here. Is that something that has happened in the past where the Polish Chamber?
Well, not enough. It's happening, but not enough. Simply, we never had a trade mission to Poland out of Georgia in recent years. I don't know if ever. I think that the federal government, the Department of Commerce, might have organized some sessions helping us, but we never really have a trade mission that would take U.S. Georgia companies to Poland. And seek partnership or investors and things like that. So this is something that definitely would encourage for the state and chamber and the region.
I was going to ask about the workforce because I know that that's something that people talk about a lot in emerging economies, the importance of an educated workforce or, you know, how what the people are like. So I wonder if you could share some insight about the people of Poland and the
training
for the workforce.
Thank you. Very good question. Poland is very fortunate to have a very good educated, well-educated workforce, one of the highest in Europe, and it is very highly, very high work ethics. It's actually second, you know, you find these researchers that track all the different things.
Right.
Now, this one I just read recently that Poland is the second after Korea in terms of productivity levels.
So I love those kind of reports. You'll take it, whatever.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
I'll take it any day.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. So that's a very good measure. People get up and work hard, and that's one of the reasons why they're successful, because they're not afraid of work. And they're very much entrepreneurial. They jump into new ideas and start a business. That's something very good. I wish that the some of the ideas would transcend into the U.S., and I think that's what we like to do is bring more of that interrelations between
So how does that work? What are some of the things you do with the Polish American Chamber in the Southeast to engage the business community?
Again, the Polish American Chamber of Commerce of the Southeast is Atlanta-based nonprofit, non-government supported organization. We've been here since 1994, just before the Olympics, promoting Poland within the southeastern states. And by saying that, we bring companies, conferences, basically focusing on the current opportunities. Just like back to your questions, last one we had, we looked at environment, we looked at energy, we looked at the manufacturing. So it's just kind of bring good news. What are the industries to invest? Or what are the industries to ship products and things like that.
So if I'm an Atlanta-based company and I have some gadget that I've created in the tech world, let's just say, because I'm not smart enough to actually give you an example of one, but let's just pretend. And, you know, you and I meet at the Commerce Club and you think I need to get into Poland. What would I do? How would I expand my business so that I'm working with Poland?
Well, there are great opportunities in Poland for startups like this because they are also supported by the local government and the EU to create small companies.
So right.
There's always a country is only as good as your small and medium sized companies. Traditionally has not been supported very effectively in the past.
Right.
So now there's this new movement of bringing new companies, small companies that can create jobs and you know, build economy.
Right.
So there is that movement. But the biggest factor for you in your example in going there is because the cost of starting a company, labor cost is the third of the U.S. cost.
Okay. Good to know.
Again, well-educated.
Right. Hardworking.
Easy to hire people.
No communication barrier.
Very quickly to establish company. I usually measure successful at establishment of the businesses is how quickly you can start a company.
Yeah.
I would say in Poland, 3 days to a week, and
that's
very cost efficient.
That's not much red tape.
I know, Elizabeth. I think we should invent something.
We would spend in a range of $1,000 to $1,500 to start a company.
Yeah,
I bet you I could do that in Poland for a third of that.
I think I have a new idea, Elizabeth. Polish Radio X, Polish Business Radio X. I think it's done.
Yeah, let's
come on,
do it.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Absolutely, they love all in English too. So
perfect. Let's do it. I think we got a plan.
And if you combine that with the low taxes, and combine that with the
yeah,
people willing to work, truly
right.
work without complaining.
Yeah.
Then you've got a business going very rapidly.
So let's say that I then love this idea and I want to do it. Is kind of supporting me through the process, supporting my business through the process of getting into Poland something that your company does?
Yes. We take company of what we call from phase zero. That was just like your company.
Right. My fictional company. Right.
We sit down with you and spend as much time as necessary, look at you. Short-term and long-term objectives.
Yeah.
Lay out the whole interest strategy that follows the business plan development, including financing.
Right.
Once all that is in place, then we do the execution, which is a startup of the company.
Interesting.
So that's just very quickly. I believe some of those phases take some time.
Of course.
Especially when it comes to research, making sure that we're not going blind, that we are doing the right things and going the right places.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's really amazing that you can get started so quickly, because I think that's probably the fear that keeps people from exploring other markets is, gosh, I'm not going to be able to understand the regulations or how would I even get started with that kind of thing. So
it is very important, because actually our objective is to save money for our clients and time. Oftentimes companies, when they go over to foreign markets, there are a lot of unknowns, a lot of moving parts, and what we try to do is control it, manage it, deliver to them, let them know exactly where they stand, because at the end of the day, we are really project managers. We manage this project for them and in an effective way, so they can feel comfortable, just like you would go to another state.
Right, so and focus that's on what they do best.
I know we're running out of time, probably, but I just want to say that I'm very pleased to be here, and not only that we promote the business, but also culture exchanges. Any ideas, suggestions from the listeners would be welcome, and you know how to find us. We're both Atlanta-based companies.
Well, I am. Before we do wrap up, I do want to ask about that. So, culturally, what do you have programs right now that are sort of just introducing sort of Atlantans to Polish culture, or vice versa?
We have the Chopin Society here in Atlanta, which is Atlanta-based, but good friend of mine, Piotr Folkert, and his wife in Roswell, Georgia, and do have programs a couple times a year.
Very cool.
Usually in the fall, in September, and obviously Frédéric Chopin was one of the greatest Polish piano player and
composer
and so forth. So that we also encourage the Polish government to send our way whenever there's some kind of exchange or tours of exhibits, music. Just we get in as much as we can.
Very cool.
But, we're small. We just
do what you can.
For volunteers.
That's right. Oh, there you go. Get that plug in.
Polish Americans, get up and call us.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. It can be anybody. It doesn't have to be Polish.
Anybody that wants to get involved.
Absolutely.
And we encourage everybody to visit the Polish American Chamber of Commerce website, which is pacc-south.com.
pacc-south.com.
We have very strong presence in Savannah, which General Pulaski fought and died. So there's a very strong conclave of philanthropists and people that would like to support the connection between Poland and Savannah. Poland and Savannah.
Yeah, that's really neat. Fascinating. And also, Witold, your website for CSI, CSICorp-USA.com. Terrific. And we'll post those online as well. It's been such a pleasure having you in the studio with us this morning.
It's
this has been
pleasure,
great.
And it's something that probably should more often than promoting Poland. But thank you for having me.
This was great. We always like learning about new you know, angles on in business, and certainly international is always fascinating. So
yeah,
thank
you know,
you
should have some of the other companies that are in the chamber
come on the show
sometime.
I will work on that. And one other thing I want to mention, that we also get involved in helping university and science exchanges. We work with Georgia Tech, Emory, and Georgia State, to actually help them establish very successful MBA program in the city of Poznan. One of the first ones, about 17 years ago.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things that go on that has not been recognized. So there are a lot of good things happening.
Very cool.
I love it. A lot of good back and forth. Well, Dana, I think that about wraps us up.
I think it does.
Thank you very much.
So this has, of course, been Good Morning Atlanta. You've been listening to Business Radio X, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. And be sure to stay tuned for Results Matter Radio, coming up next here on businessradiox.com.